Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS. I am the word of the year 2026, Blue Collar BS. Brad, and my co-host is
Steve.
Brad was the most used name in most used word in 2026 on the Blue Collar BS podcast, according to Riverside Highlights.
According to Riverside, Brad.
So today's episode is going to be a little bit of fun, a little bit of pick on Steve. I think what many entrepreneurs and small business owners face, particularly in the home services, construction, trades world, is the accounting and business operations side of things, because we're too busy doing the shit that we're supposed to get us paid that we forget about all the other things that can make life very miserable come January, February, as we prepare for taxes. So
correct.
So let's just talk about that for a minute, Steve.
Why don't we, Brad?
Why don't we just talk about what you were telling me about your frustrations of your accounting prep? How clean is your accounting right now, Steve?
My accounting is super clean, Brad. Super clean. I know where everything is. I got a shoebox. I got a checkbook.
I got a savings account. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. All my receipts go in there, and then at the end of the year, I have all my statements, and I have all my receipts. Put them all together.
Oh my gosh! And you said you're using QuickBooks, right?
Yeah, I am using QuickBooks. QuickBooks Online, Brad.
Yeah. Oh, and did you know that you could connect your bank accounts and your credit cards to there, so it brings everything in automatically?
My bank account's connected to it.
Did you know you can connect credit cards as well?
Yeah, I don't have my credit cards connected to it. No, Brad. Actually, Brad, you found out, you know, right before you hit record that I do not have a credit card attached to my QuickBooks.
But did you know you can?
So, you know, thanks for doing the show on this. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So yes, you could connect your credit cards there. So that way you wouldn't have to do manual entries for $22.75 to El Humidor for lunch in February of 2025 with Bill Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would just come in, travels, meal and entertainment, whatever you're going to classify, hit there, done, poof, off you go.
Oh, that would probably save me, at least a day, if not maybe two.
And you know what? And you might be saying, well, shit, this is horrible. Why would I do that? You know what? If you were to set the card up, I believe you can go back up to 2 years of transactions to pull in. Hmm. So if you decide to set up your card today, like after we get done recording and saying, hey, let me attach my credit card. And it's going to say, well, how far back would you like me to try to pull data? I believe you can go pull data up to 2 years, depending upon your credit card company.
Yeah, I'm just going to pull data current so that I don't mess anything up.
You could pull 2025 data.
Well, I'm just going to enter it all in. I'm going to do it the way I know how, damn it.
Now you're talking like a boomer.
Listen here, Linda.
Now you're talking like the old guy doesn't want to learn about technology, and you're the millennial of the group. Oh. So this is a problem.
Millennial. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
You're the technology guy of this twosome here.
Yeah. I can be on this because I turned a blind eye when my wife set it up. I'm like, you're the accountant. You set it up. And now I'm taking care of it.
Why are you doing it if she set it up? Why is she not taking care of it?
Because I'm taking care of it now.
Why is she not taking care of it?
Lots of annoyance and frustration. So, you know,
because you didn't hook up your credit card to it?
No, I didn't set it up initially.
like, because you weren't sending her the receipts on time, so therefore she wasn't.
Oh no, the receipts are in the. She can go into the
shoebox.
Shoebox over there and get the receipts out.
Because did you know
I did know. I know where you're going with this.
Did you know that there's this thing? It's called an. Yeah, app.
There is an app
on a telephone. I'm sorry, a smart mobile device, and you can actually hit the app on QuickBooks and take a picture of the receipt. And it'll automatically upload the receipts.
I do have a receipt from today.
And you could scan that and it'll go there.
I should learn how to do this.
You should learn how to do this. And just go ahead and do it.
Oh, I should on myself. I should all over myself, don't I?
Because finances and I'm sure you run into this with your clients. I run into it all the time with my clients, is the finance side is usually the place where it is the least taken care of, because you are of the same ilk. Well, somebody will set it up and I'll just deal with it. I'll take care of it tomorrow.
Yep.
Oh, I know I got to do all this work, but I'll take care of it tomorrow. Oh, now it's going to take me way too long. So I'll just put it in the back burner Oh shit! Now I got to get taxes ready, and now it's January, and oh man, so now what do I got to do for January? Whereas I, on the other hand, I've already pulled my 2025, all of my invoices for internet and television and phone and all my fuel invoices. My fuel receipts are all entered, and
well, all aren't you just special?
Absolutely. I am on top. Yes, I am ahead this year.
Ahead. So good for you.
Right. But so good you for need you. To leverage technology in your accounting software and your accounting systems to do it. And as much as it's going to be a pain in the ass, and throwing all the receipts on your dashboard of your van is a bad idea. Just take the picture, the snapshot, do the whatever, and get rid of the paper.
I like that idea. I am not going to shit all over myself, and I'm going to go do that. So that's my 2026, as of today, January 9th, 2026, that's what I'm going to do starting January 10th.
All right, cool. So what are other operational things that many SMB, small business owners, and particularly in the trades or manufacturing, where they fail? On a business side of things, what have you? What other things have you seen? Because you were a prime example of just using the accounting system in general, and it was an easy target for me to pick on you. So
I'll take the
softball and swing. I'm good.
You'll take the softball and swing. The next point that I actually see people fall down on is still on the business, on the accounting side, but it's when do they actually take a profit for themselves?
Explain a little further for me.
Oh, so we could break this down in a couple different ways. But if you're truly, let's just say you're the CEO of your carpentry business, but you're also doing the work yourself, right? You're self-employed.
Okay, so I'm running a company and I am an hourly employee as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Most people pay themselves a rate after everything is already taken care of. Whatever, after everything is done, they will pay themselves, and it's usually a fraction of what they're worth because they didn't pay themselves first.
That's the profit first approach.
Correct.
Mr. Mike McCallowitz. Great book.
Mm-hmm. But I do see that. I do see that quite a bit. The other thing that I see is, there's kind of those different tiers of performance, especially when you own the business and you're working in your business. So there's a rate, and when you're quote unquote doing the work, that has an hourly rate or it has a fee associated with it. When you're the CEO of the company, that has a different rate. Typically it's high. Usually it's higher.
Should be higher. Would be the plan, because you're taking on all the strategic risk, all the things, all the money risks, all the stuff, all the things. Mm-hmm.
But then there's a third one. Are you actually the owner of the company, which has a different rate
Correct.
That you pay? And some people would be surprised. They're like, well, wait, I just thought I just get paid. You know, I go out, I do the work. This is what I charge for my hourly rate. And that's what I get paid. But you're leaving money on the table because you own the business and you are also the CEO of your business. So what you pay yourself should be a different than what you traditionally might think of as your hourly rate.
Okay. So I'm gonna open up Pandora's box here.
You're really?
We're gonna go down Pandora's. So are you implying then that jobs aren't being quoted properly?
What?
Is that an implication?
How on earth would I? Why would I even
try
to
apply that as kind of through a different ways and means here?
Now, why would I even imply that?
I'm just asking a question. No reason.
The short answer is yes, 100%. I am 100% that when we are estimating our work, we are truly not estimating everything out correctly, especially when it comes out to our overhead.
Okay.
And profitability. So
what would be one or two possible solutions for somebody listening to the show to maybe start implementing? There might be a good, better, best. There might be something that's super easy that'll get me closer, but it might not be right. Might not be accurate. What are some of the things that you might suggest?
Well, that's a great question that you're asking. I'm probably not the best one to answer that because
I got an answer in my mind.
I know you got an answer. I know you got an answer. My answer is going to be a little bit more generic because, you know, I don't always get into those nitty gritty of details of things. Weird.
Like connecting your credit card to QuickBooks.
Wow. Listen.
Those are details. Nitty gritty details.
Those are details. You are correct. Those are details. I am more of I don't like to do a blanket sweeping statement, but when we get down into it, I'm not necessarily somebody that's going to get down right down to the nickel and say, hey, we need to, you know, increase our percentage by 5.32%. And, you know, that's at least going to cover this for a min. We need to increase it by this. I am more of a, hey, no, let's take a broader stroke because I know there's additional things, rounding errors and things like that. Look, we really need, if we're truly looking at this, we need to be adding at least another 10 to 15 points or percent on top of things to account for stuff. And so we can back ourselves into that number. And some people will be like, oh, that's a big increase. Well, when you actually start breaking down and looking at all of your other expenses that you haven't accounted for in your business, it truly starts to come up and you're like, oh crap, I do actually need to have a plan.
So you're getting into the overhead conversation from that perspective.
Correct. Okay.
I was fair. So for me, I was going to try to go into that hourly rate perspective, how you're breaking down the, because I think the overhead adjustment will get you into your ownership dollars.
Correct.
Right. So that overhead adjustment will equate to opportunity from an ownership dollar perspective for sure.
Correct.
But my suggestion would be that, hey, Mr. Electrician, Mr. Fabric Weld Shop owner, if you're planning on being on the floor or out in the field 30 hours a week, and you want to pay yourself $38 an hour, cool, plan on that.
Yep.
But the extra 20 hours a week that you're doing, you should be putting into your numbers that extra 20 hours a week across all your estimates, $50 to $75 an hour as the owner of the organization to at least cover your direct labor for yourself and not piss all over yourself along the way and devalue yourself. And you're going to go, oh shit, I don't know if I can win that order, that number. Well, then you better start figuring out how to differentiate yourself. If you think you have to compete on price, then you have a different problem and mindset that we need to solve.
100%.
I think if you can at least say, my direct labor is this, my indirect labor hour is this, but I got to cover all my hours so I can get paid for everything, go forward. Or if you want to blend it out and do the ratio, you want to do the math, great. Then blend it out at a fixed number at you for 50 hours a week instead of 70 that you're actually working or whatever.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about on the sales side? Sales or quoting or estimating or other things? What are you seeing maybe?
Oh, gosh. There's so many. That's like the Wild West, right? There's so many things out there to start to rein all of that in. But there's also some other things that, you know, the smarter companies are actually taking into account. And they'll actually put, hey, we, you know, there are a certain percent fee that they'll actually put on their quote to cover other factors that are outside of market conditions. So some companies will put a 10% 10 points on or 10% on the overall number to cover, let's just say it would cover for tariffs. If because that would be something that comes up, they can't control, but it's something that's put in there. Now, some companies will also line item that out and say, hey, these are, if in the event this happens, this goes up to, this covers this, this comes off at the end if it never happened.
Cool.
Right. So there's that level of that it covers everything up front so that you're not left having an awkward, oh, we had to stop work because we're underwater because we misquoted. So I've seen some companies actually do that and do that smartly where they're actually trying to take care of some of those things they can't control.
I mean, when I was running my back in my purchasing days and having to deal with heat treat. Yes, we're doing the carburization on our gearing down to 250,000 case steps and things like that. So things sit in furnaces for a really long time. And when we were going through a bunch of natural gas problems and things like that, there was this massive increase that came along and like, hey, time out. Where's this baseline coming from? What's our baseline number? Is it is it $2 a therm? Is it $4? What's our baseline number? I'm okay from here, but let's establish a baseline and we play with the variable and we're going to adjust the variable quarterly. And if we need to change baseline every 2 years, then we'll change the baseline every 2 years. I'm cool with that, but let's just put some structure behind and not just get caught up like many people did in 2021, 2022 with all the inflation, all the things, massive price increases. We'll attribute it to inflation and labor. Okay, and now is there some backwards shifting? There is a little bit of shifting, but there's not a lot of price changing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
So it's like, okay, great. So those operational opportunities from that, I think, are really, really good. One of the things, and we had him on our show, that I think organizations, particularly in the home services and or places that can do, I needed to be there to do something visually, but I don't need to make the drive or I don't have to have people on the road all the time is using technology.
Yep.
Whether you're a roofer and you're using some of the 3D modeling and things for taking pictures of your roof to estimate the square footage, squares needed, et cetera, to provide accurate quoting, or you're using a tool like LiveSwitch when we had them on the show to use the technology to make it easier to work with your customer, to not have to have a service call, do those things, get 10 to 15 more service calls done in a week to create operational efficiencies.
Right.
Technology is out there to be your friend, not to replace people. Because if my service techs are doing more billable hours, I'm going to make more money than a service tech driving to the next place to go do a quote that I'm not going to get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that I could put that service tech into an actual paid position, paid hours, align the route so it makes sense to minimize windshield time of dead miles and all those things to see some massive increases to your gross margin and bottom line if you decide to get invested in technology.
Right.
Well, operationally, those are one of those areas. And then just on the quote side and the follow-up, what is your follow-up methodology, Mr. Doyle?
Hurry up and wait. Let's go.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
You did say that out loud. You did. Yeah, you absolutely did. Depends on what it is and who it is. Sometimes I don't need to follow up. They just, we're done and we take care of it. Other times it's a gut feel. Yes. Like if somebody calls me,
you know, it's like seven touches before somebody even comes close to being able to get a yes or a no.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more of a yes. Correct. Right. So sometimes you might be reaching out. I always laugh at the people that reach out for sales for me, and it's like one, two, three, and you know, they're gone after three. And I like to play with people. So by about this, like if somebody actually makes it to the seventh one, I'll actually reward them just with a, with a conversation back. Hey, I see you've taken seven chances to actually see if this message lands. I've watched them all. I've recognized whether they land or not. Nice job.
Where's my dude on LinkedIn? He has not gone away. He keeps, here he is.
Yeah, there are some.
Octavian Rotoro. I don't know. He was all over me after we first connected, like every day to go through and give me this, to go through this lead generation specialist thingy, right? He showed back up. He has slowed down. I had went from, let's see, November 17th, then December 2nd, December 3rd, December 7th, December 9th, December 12th, and then January 2nd. So he must have taken a holiday over the break. So January 2nd was the last message. I'm expecting something in my LinkedIn inbox along the way, whether it's automated or it's real, I have no idea, but they're, it's like,
right. Well, I look at that. So I know where, to me, this is kind of going off a little shoot here, but if people are genuinely interested, they'll either respond back quickly with a, yeah, let's talk, or a polite no. And then there's other people that are watching it going, yeah, no. And they just hit delete. Right. So reaching out, the real thing is when you're reaching out, whether it's 2 times, 20 times, whatever it is, but you haven't gotten a response back, right? It doesn't mean it's a no. It really means they're either not seeing it, your message is wrong, or they're truly just not interested and they just deleted it. Thing is just don't give up, but change your approach. If they're not connecting with you, change your approach.
So the other thing I will say is you may not know what's going on in their lives or in their business if it's a B2B type situation.
100%.
So one of my clients does bookkeeping, by the way, if you're interested.
Just saying. I'm doing just fine, Brad. Okay. I do just fine.
We'll find out when it comes tax bill time. Anyhow, he had a garage door company that he was trying to engage with, and he had to kind of all systems go, and it was early December and it was really cold, and he's like, I'm like, when should I follow up next? I'm like, you just sent something out. Cool. Have you thought about it from their point of view? It's super cold out. It's December. People want new construction. They want to get closed up so they can put heat and all things in and not have the garages fill up with snow. The homeowners that have broken springs right now from the cold and all the service stuff. So they're probably very busy. It's not that they're trying to ignore you. Mm-hmm. And because he's on the other side of it, trying to be the sales side of it, he feels, oh, they're just ignoring me. They're like, you think about their business for a minute. And your next message should be, hey, I'm sure with all this cold weather and all these things, I'm sure you've been very busy doing spring replacements and things like that. Can totally appreciate that. Would you have availability? I see next week is supposed to get a little warmer. Would you have availability on Thursday or Friday to meet? He threw out a message like that. They met. He signed the client, did the things. But his concern was, well, they're ignoring me. And they just don't want, like, no, that's no. That's not the situation. So trying to put yourself, when you're doing the follow-up, in their shoes and showing that, as you like to call, tactical empathy along the way in your messaging goes a long way.
Right.
So, well, Mr. Doyle, thank you for letting me pick on you on this.
That's a common theme around here.
Not even close. There's only one reason that my name was the most used name is because every fucking picked on me all year long. So we're gonna try to make Steve.
Well, Brad, the word of
the year.
I mean,
we're gonna try to make Steve the word of the year for 2020. Steve. Hey, Steve.
Well, Brad. Well, Brad.
All right. I love it. Our audience gets something out of the show other than just some laughs and some giggles. But there's take some serious time to look at your operations, to where can mm-hmm. I get better? How can I keep my money in my own pocket? And where am I falling short? Because I'm just wasting time with inefficiency, or I don't want to say efficiency, effectiveness. I'm more concerned Correct. With you being effective than efficient. Yes, Steve, you are being effective in doing your accounting that way. You are
I'm not being efficient, efficient with it.
At all.
Right.
But the pain to become efficient is a very low threshold.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
So, all right, sir. Thank you very much. All right. And we will talk soon.
You're welcome. All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.